But good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Terry's not here today, obviously. He'd have been up here by now. This is it's a joy to get a chance to talk to y'all. He asked me, and before he even finished asking if I would like to speak, I was like, I already know what I'm going to talk about. And I was like, yes. And not that I've, you know, been waiting, but, you kind of have, and Frenchie will tell you, he does the same thing. You kind of have messages, you kind of have sermons, if you want to call it that, that you build without even thinking about it. So Frenchie's been preaching a lot longer than I have. He's been doing truck stop ministry for years and years. I've got a chance to work with the youth for, I was trying to add it up yesterday. I think it's 8 years now. I've been 3 years on staff and 5 years before that. I was just volunteering. And that's just a joy. But during that time, you also kind of, you start like something, you hear something or you read something or, and you get a message ready in your head. And you start thinking about how would I, not necessarily teach that, but how would I present that? And so this is kind of that message that I've been thinking a lot about, I would say for years, if I'm being honest, since I've been involved with music in church in general. I love what we just got to do up here and what we all got to participate in. I love it. If I'm being honest, it's probably the easiest way that I communicate with God. And some people could care less about the music. Some people only come to hear Terry preach, and that's fine too. We're going to talk about some of that today because the topic praise and or worship is a topic that we've talked about a lot in the past year, probably year and a half, with our praise team. We went through a couple book studies, all looking back at worship, all looking back at praise. And so this is where I got to with this. And if I'm being honest, the end is different than what I thought I was going to be, which is okay. But this topic and that song, more importantly, if you didn't hear it, the words, I know I was trying to show it, and for some reason when we have this program up, it won't let you show anything else. It's just that program is like, nope, I'm number one. I'm whatever you want to show, you have to show through me. So I was trying to show the words, but the title is called Tethered, and it's just a beautiful kind of just melodic song, and the whole idea is I just want to be tethered to you, God. I just want to be closer to you. And that's the constant message of that song, and I love that song, right? And there's some songs that I love that we'll never do here at church just because they don't fit, they're not right time, and some of those I'm like, I don't want to mess up because that's just like it's a good song, right? It's Phil Wickham, if you want to look him up. It's Tethered. He does acoustic kind of stuff sometimes. But when I think about the word tethered, I have a kind of a abnormal thing. Every once in a while, I'll get fixated on something, and I'll learn just about everything there is about that subject for some reason. I don't know why. And it's random stuff. Here recently, it's been, oddly enough, corn farming. And I talked with Al the other day about corn farming. I have no desire to ever be a farmer. But I know an unnatural amount of corn farming information for somebody who will never be a corn farmer. Could not tell you why. I just found it fascinating. And there's an abundance of information you can find online. YouTube is just a phenomenal source. But about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, that subject for me was sailing. Because we live in such a, the mecca of sailing right here in the middle of Georgia. All kinds of creek sailing you can do, but I got into sailing, and once again, it's one of those things where I was like, you know what? I love this subject. And so I learned so much information, single hull, catamarans, tricats. All of them, I can go on and on. I learned about the different sails, different sail positioning. I was looking up how much they cost, right? And I'm not going to buy a sailboat, but that was just one of those things. And that song, Tethered, brings back so many points from learning about sailing, because part of sailing is knowing when you don't want to just be going all the time. Eventually you do have to stop, and you either tie up to a dock, or you tether to a mooring ball. If you don't know what that is, there's these balls that are out in places where people park, if you want to call it that, moor, and it's just a big floating ball, sometimes above the surface, sometimes right below, and you tether to that ball. And that ball is tethered to the seafloor, right? And that point of that is to keep your boat from getting, you know, into rocks or getting into other boats. And the that image of what am I tethering myself to? Really, to me, as you'll see as we go through, it fits this message. What am I tethering myself to? What am I putting my trust in? Because really, if you have a, you know, you've got a $500,000 boat and you're going to tether it to a ball that's hanging, you know, that's floating from a rope to the floor, you're putting a lot of trust in all those components, right? From that ball from to that rope to that anchor, you're putting a lot of trust. And that's what we come to today. What are we putting our trust in? What are we putting our you know, our for sure, you're like, all right, Lord, you know, and it's a little bit more than just like, all right, Lord, this costs a lot of money. It's all right, Lord, this is my life. I'm tethering it to you. When we're looking at this, I love this picture. Just made me think of the ocean and the idea of tethering and praise and worship. There's something about water that's just, you know, it's just magical. If you want to use that word at church, that's okay. But it's comes to praise and or worship. Let's see if I can turn this thing on. It works better. Maybe. Yeah, there we go. All right, there it is. Just delayed. So the difference is between praise, the words, praise and worship, right? I myself have looked at this and argued it from both sides, have tried to explain it to myself better than I could. But if you look at the bottom, it says, praise is about God, worship is to God. You ever heard that before, ever seen that kind of put that way? Yes, those are true. But if you go further, just simply, you define them. Praise is opening up, or that's not defining. This is just kind of a furthering of that saying. Praise is opening up. Worship is entering in. Praise is boldly declaring, right? Worship is humbly bowing in the presence of a holy God. Praise applauds what God has done. Worship is honoring God for who he is. Those seem okay, right? They seem to describe it pretty well. And they claim that praise can only be fast songs and worship is slow songs. You gotta feel the pace different for praise, and you gotta feel the subtleness for the worship songs. I love this. Singing loudly to faster songs, clapping, dancing, celebrating in thanksgiving, and worship instead, right, is kneeling, bowing, singing softly, lying prostrate, eyes closed, lost in reverie. They can be both, as you'll see as we go on. Praise is this is the definition. Simply lavishing encouragement upon someone or something for what they've accomplished, right? Praise, you praise them. We praise people all the time. I praise my daughters. Hey, great job. You know, you did so good on that. I praise my dog. Hey, you did good. When I called you inside, you came inside, right? Praise. We use that word, and it has different, I know, different meanings when you use it for different things, but praise is a word we use. We can praise anyone or anything. We can. We do that constantly. And then you have worship. Worship comes from two old English words, literally worth, if I'm going to say it right. And then ship means quality, and worth means worth, right? The quality of something's worth. So when you think about it, you say something is worship, you're saying something is worth worshiping it. Very simply, those two words, praise, you know, you're congratulating, you're lavishing encouragement, and then something is worth this, right? Whatever we devote our time and our energy to is what we worship. And for me, I worship God hopefully all the time, but I know from truth that sometimes I worship other things, and we all do. It's not just a me. You know, we're all guilty of this. And praise is also just a subset of worship, if you really want to get to it. So the idea of praise and or worship. Worship and praise kind of fits in there because we're giving God, we're saying, God, you did this. We're praising him for this. Can it be a fast song? Yeah. Can it be a slow song? Yeah. Can worship be fast? Yes. Right? So these little things, and like I said, it did not go where I was planning it to go. But I like where it ends up. So worship and praise. We're going to use those words, not interchangeably, but sometimes I'll use the word praise, sometimes I'll use the word worship. And most of the time I'll have it headlined that way. So you and I are made to worship. If you didn't know that this is true. We're made to worship. How do I know this? How do I know this? Well, the Bible tells us, partly, and also because we're constantly seeking. There's all kinds of reality shows I don't know if any of you are into those. I'm not really. We don't have cable. We have an antenna in the attic. So I'm going off of my past experiences when I had cable. But they're pretty much, they're still reality shows, right, on TV? Okay. So all these people, okay, I shouldn't say all. That's a general term. Most of these people, they have things they're searching for. They're seeking. They're trying to feel something. Feel something inside of it. And they, if you watch these shows long enough, they go through a multitude of things to feel that void, to make it so that they feel complete. And that's what these shows are based on, people seeking something. If you look at the Christian, they find that feeling in God. And it's like, why are they complete now? Because God is complete. We looked at that last week with our youth, right? The whole verse, love is not, love is kind. Love, it needs nothing. It's because God is love, right? We are made to worship. And we're going to worship something. But I know that we're made to worship God. Because it's only through that worship that I feel complete. Everything else leaves me lacking. And I would say it's the same for everybody. We see people jump from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, trying to find that. We're made to worship. And this picture right here, this is kind of what people think of worship, right? Hands raised. If you go to youth camp, we have a time of worship. We go to we have youth here. We have a worship time. We go, church, you say, I hope I make it in time for worship, right? And the whole thing is worship is not just the singing. Worship is not just music in general. Worship is the whole component, and it goes beyond Sunday, hopefully, okay? What do we think of those words, praise and worship? How do they make us feel? Some people come to church after we're done singing, so they don't have to come to the worship part, and that's okay. Some people come to church, and they try to get there last minute, so they can just get enough of it, they feel good. And look at the other side of it. Do we feel comfortable praising God? Do we feel comfortable giving thanks to God? Do we remember to give thanks to God, to praise God? It's not just something we do through song. It's something we're supposed to do all the time. We tend to place limits or boundaries around things that stretch us. Why do we do that? Because we don't want to be stretched. We're comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. Who here likes being uncomfortable? Nobody has their hand raised because nobody wants to be uncomfortable, right? That's why we save seats beside us. Or we're not saving. We just like that buffer zone, right? It's nice. I'm that way. Most people are that way. And I'm an extrovert. And I still like my little space, my little boundary, right? We place boundaries around things that stretch us, pull us away from our favorite thing. And our favorite thing is us. It's always us. It will forever be us. Our challenge throughout life, throughout our walk with God, is to find that our favorite thing needs to be and has to be and will, should be, God. And that's where we stretch and we pull ourselves and we get pushed that direction, hopefully. The question is still, what are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? And this is a reflection time. You can think throughout this whole day, what am I worshiping? Right? And I find myself different times worshiping different things. I worship sometimes my family. A lot of us do that. We say, like, this time is precious. And it is. And I know we need that time. But we have to understand also that there is only one worthy of worship, true worship. We have things that we get hung up on. We have things that we get stuck on. We have things that we can't get past. But we should forever have God as our focus and our center and our only worship. Let's be clear. You are worshiping something. The issue is not whether we will worship, but what. Even better, whom or how. I like that last one. Whom or how? How will we worship? I get hung up on that at church all the time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 150:6. It's the last verse in Psalms, I believe. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. What does it say? We had at our Christmas thing, it talked about the rocks will cry out, right? The trees will clap and wave and praise if we don't. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Why? Because he's the creator. He alone is worthy. So we have to reframe it, right? If I am not worshiping only God, how do I fix that, right? I had some guys come help. We have a little apartment, a little back area, the little storage area. Mr. Craig was there. He came help. They helped reframe it. And if you'd asked me, I would have said, oh, it looks okay. We could just put some wood up. I'm glad these guys showed up because the amount of reframing that was needed was way beyond my ability, knowledge, and the time that I have, right? But we fixed it. We made it complete. We made it correct. We made it right. And it took some time. But they did it right, right? So reframing this, what am I worshiping? And sometimes we have to do that. We have to reflect and we reframe. Reflect, reframe. And it's good to do that every so often. All right, I have this little journal right here, just a little moleskin. They sell them at pretty much any bookstore or anything like that, and I really like this book. Not for what's in it; it's in my thoughts and prayers and things like that. But it's I've had it since 2005, and I'm 6 pages away from finishing it, which is pretty sad if you're being honest, right? I bought this with the idea that, and if you look at it, that I would finish it quickly within the year, but. It's been, how many years is that? 15? Oh, my goodness. Shame on me, right? But anyway, so I bought this to do my quiet time, to do my studying, put my notes in, because I just had spiral notebooks, and they tear pretty easily, and these are pretty strong pages, and they don't bleed through, and it was a good purchase, and I've since bought about 4 of them, and I realized that I'm still using the same one, so I've given those away as gifts. But I bought this in 2005, and 2006, I was just looking back at it just the other day, because you can look back at it. It's the same book that you have now. So I was looking back 2006, and when I was in college, I had the opportunity to go and to lead music. And 2004, I started college. 2003 and a half is when I started playing guitar and learning and playing in it all, right? Learning to play guitar. 2003, 2004, they said, we need somebody to preach and we need somebody to play guitar. And for some reason, I said, I don't want to preach. I'll play guitar. They're like, good, you're leading worship. I'm like, I've never sung in front of anybody in my entire life. And I've only been playing for 6 months. This should go well, right? So I played with this group out of the college, BSU or BCM, Baptist Student Mission or Student Union. I played with them for 2 years, right? We traveled all over Georgia, all the little podunk churches you could ever think of. I've been there. Right? For all these little youth groups, I played to 4 people. I played to 0 people. I played to one time 300. I'm like, that's too many. Let's back down to the 3 or 4, right? And during this time, I can read it. I see my journey, and I was getting away from the worship of God to the worship of me, because along that point, somebody told me that I did pretty good. Hey, you're getting better. Oh, I am. So what did I take that to mean? I'm really good, right? And so I started worshiping those accolades and that acknowledgement and that need. And if somebody didn't say it, I felt so bad that day. Not mad, just like, oh, something's not right. Because I was needing to fill that hole, right? And then 2006, something happened. All those opportunities dried up. And God didn't audibly tell me, but through experiences, I can tell God was saying, I'm going to fix you. And I'm going to do it the hard way. 2007, another guy shows up to campus. He'd been, you know, we were about the same age. He'd been doing community college. He transferred in. Much better at guitar. Much better singer. Knew what he was doing. And they're like, oh, okay, Brian's got this now. You can just, we'll get you for the backup role. I'm like, huh. So for 2 years, I didn't play music. I didn't lead worship. I didn't sing. And God was saying, I don't need you to do this. I want you to do this, but I don't need you to do this. You're worshiping people telling you that you're doing good. I need you to worship me. It took me 2 years, y'all. That's sad. And I can read it. There were months where nothing would be written down because I was just sulking. And I needed a reframe, and God did it in a hard way. He said, all right, we'll fix you. And he did. And it was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was hard. And then finally, a moment came where somebody said, hey, we need a drummer. And I said, oh, I'll play drums. And I'd been a drummer growing up, so I was like, I'll do this. So I started playing drums. And, oh, I said, thank you, Father. He said, you could have worshipped me the whole time. Instead, you chose other things. That was my reframe. What is your reframe? Reflect, reframe. We must build it into our lives. How, when, and and why. And these go pretty quickly. Okay, first, you got to be aware of this, right? God doesn't desire or deserve our smallest, little, tiny amounts of worship or our attempts at it, right? He alone is worthy of the greatest and the most important that we have to offer. Some people say, what if I only have a little to offer? Give all of that little that you have to offer. And you look at the how in John 4. You may recognize this, okay? In spirit and truth. This is a lady, Samaritan woman at the well, right? Our fathers worship on this mountain, yet you Jews say to the place that the place of worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus says, believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will neither worship the Father, you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Samaritans worship what you do not know, and we worship what we do know because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So how? The truth is easy, right? Jesus is the truth. He tells us that much, right? John 14. How do we worship? We worship towards Jesus, for Jesus. The truth centers on his person, his work, the one who himself is the truth. The spirit is a little bit more of those things. You go, what is he talking about there, right? And you read further. You go back to John 3. It says, to which is born of the flesh is flesh, but which is born of the spirit is the spirit. So this begs the question, can non-believers worship God? No. They can sing songs. They can lift their hands. They can clap their hands. They can dance. But can they worship as we are told to do? No. Only with spirit and only in truth. For those who are new creatures in Christ, our spirit owes its existence and vibrancy to the Spirit of God. And I like this from John Piper. It says, true worship comes only from spirits made alive and sensitive by the quickening of the Spirit of God. I remember the first time I ever heard Christian music in a big corporate setting, right? I went to church pretty much my whole life. But going to a youth event, I was 13 or 14, and just hearing it for the first time, I'm like, what is this? It totally was different. And then I was like, I have so many questions. Why is her hands up? Why is she crying? Why are they walking that direction? You know, all these questions that if you've ever been to a youth event for a first-timer, for a non-believer, you're going to have. And I was there, right? Made alive and sensitive by the quickening of the Spirit of God. It's only when I was saved that I recognized that this is what they've been doing the whole time. There's something inside of them that I did not have that now I do have, and I cannot wait to do this again. Whatever you do in word and in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. This is the win. Everything. Our relationship with Christ is not about a set of rules, right? You can only, at this church, you lift your hands up, somebody's going to ask you to come to the back, and please don't do that, right? You go to this church, you clap your hands, somebody's going to come and they're going to handcuff your hands together. You come to this church, you don't stand up at the right time, somebody's going to come talk to you. Well, we don't do that. And we shouldn't do that, right? Because our relationship is different. Some people can sit on their chair and have praise just as much as somebody who is over here flailing on the ground, lying prostrate. They can worship the same. Our minds never make enough individual rules to cover every possible situation. Instead, we are to submit everything. This is the hard part. That song, tethered to my life, my all will be tethered to you, right? Every moment to Christ. Instead of living by a checklist, we are to submit to him in whatever we think or do. Isn't that easier? I will worship him in every possible way at all possible time. Can you do that? Is that an actually possible thing? Yeah, if you put your mind to it, if you practice it, if you put the effort behind it, you can. Give the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. I love that verse, by the way. The glory due his name. Not my name. Not anybody else's name. Not anything. Not that thing that I've always wanted. But give the Lord the glory due his name. Worship in all of life is stressed in both Old Testament and New Testament, right? And you have this this assertion that man's chief purpose is to glorify God. Mr. Peter Fogg says that all the time. That's our chief purpose. How, when, why? Why are we supposed to do that? Because that's what we're built to do. We're made to worship. Our chief purpose is to glorify God. Well, when? All the time. How? In every way. In your work, do your work the best so that those around you will go, why are they doing that? And that opens up a conversation. In your car, crank that music up, right? As long as there's nobody in the room or nobody in the car with you, and just sing, 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 right? You can do it. I know. Same here. Our chief purpose is to glorify God. We see this about Jonah. Jonah was, he described himself as one who reverenced God. He reverenced God. He held him a little higher in esteem. It wasn't something, he was speaking of something that he did exclusively on Saturdays, right, for him, because he was a Jew, but he was characterizing a whole manner of life. It's not something you do at church. You don't just praise and worship here. You don't just, you know, have to have your song on the radio. You don't just have to have somebody, you know, playing something for you. It's a way of life. You worship through your life. But there is also the other component that is specifically, right? And you're going to see that in a second. Paul talks about it, right? Glorify God in everything we do and all of life worship. It's also, there are specific times though, because this is corporate worship, what we're having here. Corporate worship's different than personal worship. And there's even something I've been learning about, you'll see in a second, family worship, right? Three aspects in the Bible: public, family, private, along with these all of life. Most of us, we see singing is the big part of worship. It's not the main part, right? So what do these different types of worship look like? Here's public worship, and this is the one that we're doing right now. We people of God assemble for the express purpose of giving the Lord the glory due his name. You see that verse in there? And enjoying the joy of his promised special presence with his own people. Where two or more gathered. There's more than two. I've counted, right? And then you have this one. And this is one I've been looking at a lot. Okay? I would rather play to all of y'all, play a guitar and sing to all of y'all, than play guitar and sing to one of y'all. Because it's just something about that. It's really hard. I don't know why. My daughters, they love music. They love singing. They sing all the time. They make up a new song every week about something. I'm sure it's beautiful, right? But sometimes I'm like, okay, that's enough of that, right? But they love, in the car in the morning, we have a routine. If they ride with their mom, she plays the radio. I'm a little bit more adventurous. I got Spotify pulled up, and we're going through some playlists. And I try to choose songs that are led by ladies, because they're girls, and I want them to be able to understand, you know, the feminine voice also singing to God, not just all the guys. It's hard to do, because sometimes I'm like, all right, they want to hear the same song over and over because they like it, right? But also when it comes to it, establishing God-centered homes, promoting worship in all of life and all members of the household in preparation for public worship. We do that. We work at it. I spend time, you know, building these little playlists for them. And my wife's like, why do you do that? I say, because I want them to learn these songs. I want them to know these words. And y'all, they get it. They got to listen to the song one time and they can just spit it back out right to you. And the three-year-old has a little bit, or four-year-old has a little bit more struggle sometimes. She may mix the words up, but it's still cute. And I still know her heart. She's just singing, and I'm just directing her to God. And then the last one is private worship, secret worship, right? We have moments of this throughout Scripture. You got Jesus, Daniel, David, Peter. They all show you examples of this. Our public worship and our family worship should be an overflow of our private worship. I can't lead my wife and my daughters in our family worship if I myself am not having private worship. And there's no way I can lead any of y'all in public worship if I don't have private worship. It's not possible. It would be an empty display. Starts with the individual. The essence of true worship is not external, but internal. Heart, head, emotion, thought, spirit and truth, whether we're taking all of life as worship or corporate gatherings for worship. It's internal. It's our heart. Here's some examples of this, right? This is our externals that get us. How shabby or how nice the building is, how good the singing was, how bad or how great the preaching was, whether somebody near us is doing something on their phone, whether one of the people up here is dancing oddly or raising their hands weirdly, or if they were a little bit off that on that note right there, right? With all these things are external. They all keep our, sorry about that. I thought I'd turn that off. All these things cause us to be focused elsewhere, right? And I'm guilty of this too. Trust me, I'm the worst. I'm from up here getting distracted by my own things that I'm doing. But the internal is where God is looking. External forms of our worship are, they're not insignificant. They can't be distracting. They should not make or break it, right? True worship is centered around what? Our hearts and what flows from our hearts. The spirit and truth. True worship is God-centered. Our focus is Christ. True worship is spirit-empowered, remember? You can't do this. You can sing all you want, but true worship does not happen outside of salvation. True worship is word-based. Our songs should be based on scriptures. Our prayers should be, you know, intertwined with scripture. We should seek to be able to describe God better. And guess where the best descriptions of God exist are in this Bible. True worship engages both the mind and the heart. True worship is edifying. We should build each other up. We should learn from it. And true worship is more than Sunday. It's got to be. That overflow will not happen if you just let it happen on Sunday. Some takeaways, y'all. What is stopping us from worshiping? Some of you think, well, I'll sing more. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your entire life worship. What is stopping you? Normally it's because we're worshiping something else. So that question should be, what is stopping you from worshiping God? Just because you've had a difficult year or week or month, fill in the amount of time, God is no less worthy of our worship. And that's a hard thing to remember. Easy to say, hard to remember. Hard to put into practice. You are worshiping something, even if not God. And the challenge is to find that and remove its place of prominence. And by the way, remove there means like, don't just put it somewhere else in the house. It means be gone forever. Because it could sneak back in real quick. Take a reminder as you're ready to roll. I love this. As you are ready to roll, you're ready your heart and roll up to your next corporate worship gathering. Wherever that is, wherever you are, whenever that will be, right? The externals do matter, but they're not the essence. They don't need to rule the day or take your focus, right? Whether it's exactly like you want it or it's exactly opposite of what you want, know this. Do not be hindered by those things because the heart of worship is the heart. What are you tethered to? It's not what we do or don't do with our hands. It's not what somebody says or doesn't say, right? But what we do with our hearts and our minds, because the one who has captured our hearts and our minds, worship is in spirit and in truth. Let's pray, y'all. God, we thank you for today. Lord, I ask that you would, Lord, reset our focus. Help us reframe what we're worshiping, who we're worshiping, God, and even the why. Maybe we've spent time away from you, and maybe we need to reconnect. Maybe we need to reassert that, God, that you are our prominent place. You are the prominence in our life. God, I ask that if anyone here doesn't have that relationship with you, they don't know who you are. They're still seeking answers. God, I pray that they would keep asking the questions that make us Christians uncomfortable because it makes us go even further and learn even more so that we can tell them just how glorious and how awesome you are. Father, I pray also for those moments we can share who you are, what you've done in our lives, God, and why you are worthy of worship and our praise, Lord. God, I pray that we have a great Sunday, that we continue worshiping, and that we would seek you out in every part of our life. Lord, we love you. Amen. Would y'all stand with us?